This episode of the Hatchcast is brought to you by Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. The Burgess Institute empowers students to learn through action by providing programs, courses, and resources to foster an entrepreneurial mindset and create new ventures. One name, one program, Limitless U. Learn more at eship.msu.edu.
Welcome to
Creativity,
Risk-Taking,
Entrepreneurship,
Community,
Innovation,
Ambition.
This is
the Hatchcast.
Check, check, check. Welcome back to the Hatchcast. I'm Aaron Richard. Like many of my colleagues across MSU, I have been working remotely since March 12th. I can't tell you whether a month has passed. I have no idea even what time is anymore. And I'm sure that so many others are experiencing this too. Several days ago, we had the wonderful opportunity to sit down and chat with one of the co-creators of the Hatchcast, Tyler Mihai. The morning before interviewing Tyler, I listened to the podcast, The United States of Anxiety. Kai Wright and Jenny Casas discussed Benji Hart's poem, 45 Questions to Ask While Waiting. And I was so moved by that episode, I asked the Hatchcast team to go and interview folks to whom they wanted to get closer. Who are we if we cannot be vulnerable? Who are we if we waste this moment to connect with people? And so this miniseries within our little podcast is the fruit of us being vulnerable and experimenting. We hope you find each conversation in this miniseries compelling, candid, heartwarming, and completely present. We've edited this content to keep our interviewees anonymous. We've had to lightly modify these conversations to ensure as high a quality as is possible in this weird, weird time. From the bottom of our hearts, our team hopes that you and yours are staying safe and staying healthy and staying kind to one another. And we look forward to keep providing you stories. Thank you so much. Welcome back to the Hatchcast. I'm Aaron Richard. Heads up, some of the political views expressed in this episode do not reflect the views of the Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week. Okay, which part of your body aches most by evening?
I would say either my head or my ass.
Is it because your head is up your ass? So your ass hurts by the end of it all, or your head. Where is the least visited corner of your home?
The northwest corner of the garage.
Okay, what do you have against the northwest corner of your garage?
Nothing.
It's a void.
It's a gaping void.
Nothing goes there?
Even the lowliest of buds avoid it. Roly-polies just keep rolling on by. They're like,
I can't even. When was the last time you cried over something later you found silly?
Sunday.
What did you cry about?
Zombie Jesus.
I am interested because I think I know this. When piling things on the floor, how do you arrange the piles?
By utility.
Oh, interesting. Did you read Marie Kondo?
No.
Okay.
I don't read about how to organize shit. I don't have time for that. It's organized on the fly.
You have three children. You have to pivot every minute. So what is the cruelest thing you have done in love?
I don't know. My bar on cruel has really, it's probably pretty low at this point.
You're like, I've done some really shitty things. Unspeakable things.
Unspeakable things. Like, Isaac was in school this year before his birthday and then decided to take his school safety scissors to cut his hair. It was right before his birthday. Dude, we're just going to let that shit fly. and be in all your birthday photos.
And we're going to post them right to Facebook. This is not even a...
for life.
Oh, my God. I my kids would hate me. This is probably why I don't have them. if you could punch one person in the face, who would it be?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Donald Trump on this one.
I find that to be entirely fair.
But then, you know, there's also a part of me that would want to punch really something innocent and cute just for being innocent and cute. Like, ew.
It was great while it lasted. Then.
I mean, somebody's got to take that away from you, right?
So I'm going to volunteer right now. What is the most mundane hurt you are carrying? I mean, this is originally a poem by the marvelous Benji Hart. And so I think you can go at whatever you want. Mundane hurt, the everyday hurt.
This is a difficult one.
Yeah.
Looking at myself with crow's feet, does that count?
Oh.
The fact that my body will never be the same as it was before it gave birth to three children. Like, on the one hand, you want to be like, way to go, you buddy, you f-ing rock. And then nature is like, yeah, but you're never going to look it again.
I will tell you, you still look f-ing great.
Thank you, filters. Thank you, Spanx. But I do want to add, like, putting a bra on every day is probably one of those mundane hurts, pedestrian pains. I don't want to. I want to put a bra.
What fantasy do you revisit on your morning commute?
From my bedroom to my office in the basement, I dream about mostly coffee. I think about coffee all the time. I just want to be surrounded by caffeine constantly. That is usually what I'm thinking about in the morning.
You've just conjured, like, I've gone to the Bahamas and all of a sudden... the sand is just coffee. It's just...
yeah, it's just dry coffee. And you just roll around in it. You can be so productive, but you don't have to be.
What will cause your inevitable downfall?
My inevitable downfall?
Yes.
Well, I would assume that I will peak at some point. I can't answer the question.
Yeah. Really, the peak is the downfall. How many headaches have you had in the last week?
None.
Nice.
I don't usually get headaches. And even one time when I got auras, which I assume was from a migraine, they were painless. It was a painless migraine. I did not invite the migraine in. The migraine did not knock on the door.
No. Are you most yourself when you are alone or with others?
I guess I feel like I'm the same when I'm with myself and with others. I don't know how I could be less myself or more myself.
I think it's also that you are blessed with self-awareness.
Isn't that a human quality?
I hope so.
Well, I'm super self-critical, so whether I'm around myself or others, there's always noise. It's an interesting thought that I could be more or less myself based on whether I'm alone or with others. I just don't think that's a real thing. I think you're always yourself.
So what's the worst thing that has not yet happened?
I don't know. I don't even want to think about it. Everything has gone to such shit. South Korea was so good about containing the coronavirus. They're going to look at America and be like, what the f*** is going on over there? And just like send over a nuclear bomb just to protect themselves from reinfestation of coronavirus.
What chore do you put off most consistently?
Vacuuming.
Is your house fully carpeted? I haven't been to your new house.
So our main floor is all hardwood.
Okay.
So it's just like sweeping, which I feel like probably needs to be done every day based on the fact that we have 3 kids and a cat.
I mean, you could have just said we have a cat and that would have been.
I don't vacuum a lot. You know what I really like is pulling weeds, but I don't do the lawnmower. I think I maybe done it twice in my life.
You just put the mower in lines. How?
Yeah, it's hard.
Okay. It's hard. How good have you become at lying?
Pretty good.
You have children.
Oh, yeah. It's something you become really adept at. I find the best way to lie is to tell most of the truth.
And revise when necessary.
I mean, you tell the truth, but you do it diplomatically. Yes?
I absolutely agree. Correct. No, I think that's correct. Just keep swimming. What is the most expensive thing you own and never use?
I don't really have expensive things. We can't have nice things.
We can't. I want nice things. I just can't have them.
I mean, right now I would say my car, it's very, you know, it was expensive, but I'm not using it because I can't go anywhere.
I'm paying a lease to drive nowhere. I keep watching my leastimator tells me how many miles I could drive in one day and still be on track. I can drive 3,536 miles in one day and still be on track.
I don't think it's possible. I don't think you can go fast enough to actually.
Oh, I'll do it. How many houseplants have you killed? Round it up.
5.
That's.
And I've only had 5. So I'm at a
5 for 5
kill rate for plants. Plants can't scream and cry when they need water, and that's really their fault.
What shame have you learned to live with?
All of it.
All of it.
I would not live all of the shame. And believe me, being a perfectionist, you never are satisfied. You are just a constant disappointment to yourself, because being human, you cannot be perfect, and therefore all of the shame. Why didn't you do better? You know why that person treated you shitty? Because you don't deserve to be treated well.
Oh,
shitty. Everything is your fault.
How do you know my interior monologue?
It's that.
Oh, you did such a great job. No, I didn't. No. No, no, I can tell you right now. What is the oldest thing currently in your refrigerator?
Probably the hemp oil I bought as part of my skin regimen, and then I stopped using it. So it's been in there probably 2 years coming up on June.
That's not terrible. That's not terrible. You could shake that up and put it in a bowl of oats.
That's such like a nutty type. I mean, scent. I never really ate any of it, but that's a scent. It's kind of just nutty. I actually just noticed it tonight that it was still in the fridge. And I was like, oh, yeah, I stopped using that. And I switched to jojoba oil.
Oh. Who got away without taking responsibility for what they did?
An old lover. From undergrad, a compulsive liar. I only found out through his best friend that he was a compulsive liar, and all the lies that I had been told. He never owned up to any of it. And actually tried to, like, re-engage with me after all of that, where I was just like, okay, so you think I'm actually really stupid and have no morals. Or, you know what, I don't really know what goes on in compulsive liars' brains and why they do what they do. That's who they are.
Would you want to punch him in the face?
No. Oh, I just feel so sorry for him.
I think that's gracious. That's really generous of you.
And I'd feel that way about Trump, too, except for the fact that his lies and mistakes are causing the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people. And this guy just broke my heart, and we all know I deserved it.
Oh, my God. Ooh, so I love this juxtaposition. So what hypocrisy in yourself have you yet to amend?
Probably the I'm not good enough, I'm good enough. I have yet to, like, reconcile that duplicity.
That's so, do you feel like you're faking it till you make it?
Oh yeah, for sure. But I think that's what life is. And I don't think there is anything real about any of this. It's all fake. I guess it's all artifice. And the only thing that makes it real is us acting upon it.
Over and over and over again.
We continue to engage with it over and over again, left unsatisfied every time, because it's not authentic. It doesn't come from the self. It comes from outside. And it's something we've been conditioned to engage with. I am a bit of a nihilist. And yet I went to college. I picked a major. I put myself in this box, and the box didn't fit, and I still had to go out and get a job, and now I have a job that really is nothing to my major, because I wasn't willing to put myself into too much of a box, so I got a liberal arts degree. So now I'm just working for the paycheck. I got married, I had kids, I got the house, I got the car, like, all the things that we're supposed to be doing that's somehow showing everybody else that, you know, I am succeeding in life. Those are just empty things. And the real meaning is found in the, like, minutia of life.
Like, nobody knows what they're doing.
Exactly. And so we're all just faking it and not, like, acknowledging it, because we're too afraid to acknowledge that we're just faking it.
When sleep deprived, what is the most likely reason?
It is usually the kids and or staying up late drinking, especially since we've gone into 14. It's like, oh my God, I need my crutches. I need all my crutches. Bring them all to me, and I need them every day.
Yep. With whom is your kindness most forced?
Like, I always feel a resistance. Like, I don't want to be kind to you with, like, a handful of people, mostly my coworkers. But when I engage with them, I find it very easy to be kind. I just have a resistance. When I don't have to engage with them, I'm very mean to them in my mind. But when I do have to engage with them, I'm very kind.
Okay.
But also with my mother. Okay, so my mother and my coworkers.
I was thinking my mother too.
Yeah.
I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. But I really want her to.
I know my mom won't, so that sort of ties into why.
Okay. Ooh. Which two dire needs are you presently choosing between?
The need to be drunk and the need to be sober.
Can you name a time you were least proud of yourself?
Oh, I wall that shit up.
Oh, fair.
I don't know. Push that shit way down.
Hey, yeah.
Make sure it never comes back.
I mean, yes, this is why we drink. Does odor or height determine whether the trash should be taken out?
Usually But I have to admit, you know, there are five people in this house, one of them under the age of two and can't take out the trash. Everybody else is capable. I play with the height. I'm like, it can wait. It can wait. Because I know somebody else will see how high it is and take it out. But this morning when I went down, I was like, oh, shit, no. It's, I could smell it, and so it would smell.
Yeah.
But usually for me, it's height because I'm just like, I don't want shit overflowing onto the floor.
Yeah.
These are weird questions.
These are great questions. These are fabulous questions. For you, what does chronic pain refer to?
The numbness in my... down the back of my leg. It's chronic. I mean, it's numb. Most prescriptions are to kill pain.
You're like, I don't feel shit.
I don't feel shit, so it's good.
How long has that been going on, Michelle? And have you had a doctor look at this?
Yeah. No, it's been this way for almost 10 years. I got the microdiscectomy to relieve the pressure that was on the nerve. Nerves are just really slow to grow, and sometimes the feeling never comes back, and mine never has. So,
well, I'm sorry that you go through that.
It's just part of my life. I don't feel sorry about it.
Whose misery would bring you comfort?
I think I gotta go back to these dumbass political leaders. But part of me has to believe that they were miserable to begin with.
Fair.
And that's what made them the monsters they are.
Power is pathological. With whom are you dreading having a conversation?
I mean, can I say my mom again?
Yeah.
It's just so painful. She doesn't really ever have anything to say. So when I ask her, you know, it's a very brief rundown. Oh, you know, went to work, got my hair done, did some laundry, watched my shows. It's always just a, like, very surface level with her. And then it usually devolves into some sort of conversation that involves me Googling a lot of shit for her. Like, I have done so much work looking shit up for her and tickets and shuttles and going round and round and round with her about her coming out to visit for the past 5 years.
Wow.
She hasn't been out here once. And so it's just doing the same shit over and over, knowing that nothing is going to come from it. And I dread that every single time.
How long should a burnt pot soak before being washed?
Overnight.
What permission have you given yourself to retaliate?
Give myself all the permissions to retaliate. Retaliate the fuck away. Well, I feel like it's easy to always feel attacked, right? And so the hard part is navigating when you're not being attacked and when to not retaliate.
Always on defense. What is the name of the missing thing?
It's love. There's just not enough love in the world.
If you stopped, what would suddenly come into sharp focus?
There was so much being taken for granted that we were no longer being thoughtful around how we interact and why. Our ability to just go see a friend whenever we wanted, fly to go see your daughter whenever you wanted. What's come into focus more is who I really care about interacting with, you know, what my support system actually is. And it is a lot stronger than I thought, you know? So I think we're all being more intentional and creative with the ways that we're interacting, and we're making sure that we're interacting on a more regular basis, just reaching out to each other and saying, hey, I'm here, you know? And we don't do that enough. It's just so easy to go on autopilot. And life is less life that way. I'm actually a little worried about going back to before.
Which question do you wish someone would ask you?
Would you like some chocolate cake? But I mean, not just ask me the question, but also be holding a chocolate cake while they ask the question.
What terrible truth could everyone find out?
That we're all just faking it till we make it. Every, you know, terrible truth sets you free.
One illusion shattered, the next one created. How have you convinced yourself that tenderness is scarce?
I don't know that I have convinced myself that tenderness is scarce. Tenderness is there inside every peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Now we are
also
hungry.
Yeah, we definitely are hungry.
What aspect of your character makes you difficult to live with?
The perfectionist, the, you know, the need for things to be black and white, or at least being most comfortable in that state, is very hard for me to navigate gray, and we live in a lot of gray.
Yeah. What gut reaction are you purposefully ignoring?
The gut reaction to run away. Because it can't. But I want to. Fight or flight is real.
It really, really is. Do you wait by the stove for the water to boil or leave the room?
Oh, I wait. I am there the second it starts boiling.
Nice. And not a moment too soon.
Too late. That is my biggest, one of my biggest fears, is being late.
Really?
For
I'll happily hand over my ineptitude.
To show up to things on time.
Yes. 1 o'clock. Didn't you say 4:45? With what have you replaced the things you owe yourself?
With things that I owe myself.
Yeah.
Yes. Yoga, going on walks, sitting through this goddamn hour after hour of video meetings. On my exercise bike, just to feel like I'm getting somewhere. And I will change the background for my Zoom meeting.
How many days has it been since you changed the bedclothes?
I think we're talking more weeks.
Really?
So maybe that's the chore that I avoid the most, is changing the bed sheets. But time right now is a flat circle. So
oh, yeah. That I have no idea. It's Wednesday. What the f*** are you talking about?
I don't know what that means.
I know. What's a weekend? Like, I'm not judging you, by the way. That was not a disapproving. Oh, because
you don't have to lie. It's okay.
Well, I mean,
it's gross. I know.
No, but it's. I mean, not uncommon. What consumes the majority of your emotional stores?
Oh, slogging through work and trying to get the kids through their schoolwork. It really just sucks the life out of me. The Microsoft Teams notification.
Oh, just.
Ding, 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 ding. So many chats, so many different channels and posts on those channels. And oh my God, can we just have an impromptu video meeting? Okay.
Why?
Yes.
Whom are you waiting to acknowledge as fallible?
I mean, other than myself, like, I don't really idolize anyone. I never really had mentors or, you know, people I looked up to in my life. I was always, like, doing everything myself, and I just figured everybody else did that too. And so you're just doing what you should be doing. So why should you get praised for that? Like, yeah, no, I didn't fuck it up. Oh, wait, yeah, no, I did. Oh, shit. Yeah, but
that's why
I do it perfect.
That's why I didn't sleep at all last night.
That's right. I just needed to get it right.
Oh, this is a good one. What book did you skim that you told everyone you read?
Mrs. Dalloway.
Oh, really?
That book made me dizzy.
Which place in yourself is still secretly reeling?
Oh, I don't keep those secrets. I just let it all reel out.
Fair. This is the final question. You ready for this?
No, I'm not ready. Because I would also say the writing part of me, the part of me that wants to have the time and energy to write is reeling. There's lots of noise there that I've been unable to attend to, and it's a cranky baby.
It's kind of frustrating, isn't it?
Yes.
What have you imagined is coming to heal you?
Jim Beam. Yes, a lifetime supply of chocolate. Willy Wonka's going to come save me.
I'd swim in that river any day.
Me too.
Thank you for spending this time with me.
Yes, likewise. Thanks for reaching out to me. Let's do it again soon.
Yes,
but with
please.
Different questions. You have to answer the questions.
I will happily answer any questions you have.
This episode of the Hatchcast is brought to you by the MSU Entrepreneurship Association. The MSUEA is a registered student organization open to all majors who are passionate about entrepreneurship. Find out more at msuea.org.
The Hatchcast is sponsored in part by Spartan Innovations. Spartan Innovations provides startups spinning out of MSU's ecosystem the commercialization, support, and financial resources necessary to turn MSU research technologies into successful Michigan businesses.
Hatchcast is an ongoing collaboration. This podcast was co-created by myself, Aaron Richard, as well as with Tyler Mihai and Kurt Krieger. It is produced by the Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation in cooperation with the Michigan State University Foundation. Gabe Hales and Justice Keach are our sound engineers and editors. Our co-producers include Brandon Weaver, Gabe Hales, Justice Keach, and myself. Original sound is created by Katia Gaudina, with help from Aubrey Haas, Brandon Weaver, Caitlin Setter, Sydney Uwinga, Kurt Krieger, Tyler Mihai, Gabriella Allum, Jeff Smith, Paul Jakes, Ken Smusiak, Desiree Melfi-Bozzo, Neil Kane, and Lori Fisher. If you'd like more information, please head to hatchcast.buzzsprout.com or contact us at hatchcastpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.